אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
We're reading in the writing of Rabash, page 377. Preparation. What is the preparation for slichot? There is no English text. You may ask questions on CAPS.UIL, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Page 377 on the writings of Rabash. Preparation for slichot. What is it? It is known that for everything we desire, we need to prepare the means to attain that thing. Accordingly, what should a person prepare in order to receive forgiveness? In corporeality, we see that a person doesn't say, tell the other, forgive me, unless he did something for it. By that, the other got hurt in money, in his honor, or in bodily harm, that he caused a certain harm to him, etc. Then, you can say that a friend can ask for forgiveness, to forgive him for the sin that he caused him. And here, we have to discern two things. First, if he didn't do anything to him and he asked for forgiveness, the second would look at him like a person who is out of his mind. Let's depict ourselves. If we see a person walking down the street and says to every person he meets, forgive me, excuse me, forgive me, what would we say about him? Certainly that he is crazy, because forgiveness relates only to someone who has performed a certain transgression. Two, if someone caused another a great loss and he is asking for forgiveness, just like something small that he has caused him, certainly he will not receive his desire, because he performed a great transgression and he's asking for forgiveness as if he did something small. Certainly that thing is out of the question that he would forgive him. Rather, the person measures the scale of the harm that he caused his friend, and in that measure he performs the means that his friend would agree to forgive him. And this we see similarly in the order of providence and corporeality, how a person behaves in the matter of forgiveness between a man and his friend. And between a man and his friend is what we need to learn, the same order as between a man, a person, and the place. Meaning, when a person comes to us, ask for forgiveness from the Creator to forgive all his transgressions, here, similarly, there are two discernments. First, that you cannot ask for forgiveness on nothing, only for something that you caused harm on the other. Otherwise, he seems insane, or that he is joking by asking for forgiveness. Two, that the order of the forgiveness is according to the value of the harm he caused to the other, or the measure. Meaning, the person comes to ask for the Creator to forgive him on his sins and how he harmed his honor. Then the person has to think thoughts on the matter of his sin towards the Creator. Since if the person doesn't feel any sin and he asks for forgiveness, it is as if he is joking or screaming and crying and asks from the Creator for forgiveness, while not feeling himself that he harmed the honor of the king. And the reason that a person does not feel his sins, as our sages said, a person caused a transgression and repeated it, it becomes allowed. And from that, the reason comes that the person does not feel his sins while asking forgiveness from the Creator. It is found, according to the second observation, meaning to notice the size of the sin, there is a need that the person would first account for the measure of the harm that he caused the honor of the king. Otherwise, there's no place for forgiveness. Only a person has to try as much as possible that he would be able to give the request that he would forgive his transgressions according to his sins, so there would be equal weight. And our sages said that with the wicked, for the wicked, it seems their sins seem like a hair, and for the righteous, seems like a tall mountain. And the question comes: what is this comparison, analogy? Meaning, they said it seems to them, but what is the truth? And the matter is that while a person does not pay attention who he sinned, towards who he has sinned, and he does not feel the importance and the greatness of the Creator, and he lacks faith, then when he begins to think, I'm also Jewish, and since now it is the month of Elul, and it is a custom for Israel throughout all the generations, since this is the month of mercy, and anyone who is called Israel, it is known that now is the time to ask the Creator to forgive the sins of the house of Israel. And you also blow the horn, the shofar, so that the person's heart would introduce into itself some thought of repentance over the sins. Then the person believes that certainly he also has sinned and he needs to ask for forgiveness from the Creator. But what is the measure of the harm that he caused the honor of the king? This feeling a person cannot come to feel. Rather, according to his faith in the greatness of the Creator, in that measure he can estimate himself the size of the harm that he caused with his sins. It turns out that all those who come to ask for forgiveness without any preparation for what they are asking forgiveness for, it is exactly like someone who is asking someone for forgiveness even though he did some bad things to that person for which he needs to have true repentance, and rather he is asking forgiveness as if he has sinned with something little. And so the matter of forgiveness has no value as it should be with respect to a true sin. It turns out that before a person can come to ask for forgiveness, he has to first perform inner examination about the matter of the sin, and then he can look at the sins that were caused by the principal sin. And the person has to know that the principal sin in how a person harms, that from this reason all the other sins are caused, is that the person does not try to have faith in permanence. And only if he has partial faith is enough for him. And this is, as it is written in the introduction to Tas, item 14, that if he had faith in permanence, this faith would not have given him, would not have allowed him to sin. Meaning that he's asking for forgiveness from the Creator, since he sees the true cause for all his sins is that in that he's missing permanent faith. Therefore, he's asking the Creator to give him that strength, meaning that he would have the possibility that he would always have faith in his heart. And as a result, he will not come to perform any sins and harm the honor of the Creator. And since he has no feeling of the greatness of the Creator, and he doesn't know how to appreciate the honor of the Creator and not to harm it. So, as a result, he's asking for forgiveness from the Creator that would help him, that would give him the strength to receive on with himself the work of the Creator above reason, meaning that he will have the power to overcome and to grow stronger in the faith of the Creator, and he would know how to behave between a man and the place with a little bit of respect. Meaning that a person would perform the calculation to himself, then he would see that only one thing is missing, meaning to perform inner examination on the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. That for this we bless each day, blessed are you, the Creator, that did not make me a Gentile. And the person does not pay attention on that part of the blessing that that did not make me a Gentile. Meaning, he does not look at himself on what is the difference between being in Israel and not a Gentile. Meaning that you must know that the main thing in the faith is that Israel believes the Creator and the Gentile has no faith in the Creator.
Within each and every person, and faith is the force of bestowal. One who has the force of bestowal is called Yeshar Kel. One who doesn't is called a Gentile.
And after he knows this, after he has this scrutiny, he has to check himself. What is the measure of his faith? As it is written in the introduction to Tess, how much he is willing to give up for the faith in the Creator. And then he will have the ability to see the truth. Meaning, is he willing to do his work only for the sake of the Creator and not for his sake? Or only in small measures he's willing to do for the sake of the Creator? Meaning, God forbid, he will not harm his self-love. Otherwise, he has no strength to do anything. It is found.
So, how does the Creator test it? For instance, he positions the person in front of a dilemma. Niv, you're listening? Or Tzvika, even better. Let's say you're being put in front of... Show him on the screens so everyone can see him. No, not Niv. There we go. Now we can see. Look, a dignified person. Now you're showing me again. I didn't ask for that. Okay, fine. So what am I trying to say? The Creator examines the person. How? To the extent that a person is willing to allow hurting his will to receive for the honor of the Creator, for faith, in order to bestow. Let's say, for instance, that someone wants to humiliate you at work, in front of everyone. And then someone suddenly sends you a subpoena, from the police, to an investigation. There's a complaint about you, about something you did 15 or 20 years ago, and now it surfaced something that is not so good. You know, the Creator can set it up for you 20 years later, it doesn't matter. Time has no factor here. You know, the Creator sets up these things in advance to then show them to you 30 or 40 years ago. The question is this: how willing are you, with all those things, to accept this with a kiss like that? As an opportunity to adhere to the Creator who did this to you, who is helping you through that to rise above your ego. That's not so pleasant, right? Not so easy. Will you agree or not? No. Why? Because that's not just...
No, such things happened before, but it is a terrible thing if a person is not strong enough internally.
One is not given an obstacle for no reason. There's always an addition of sanctity and not a decrease. I'm telling
you. What do
you mean? It's like that. It is said, if you shall wage war against me, my heart shall not fear. What does it mean? I'm not talking about common people, like the politicians, Ehud Olmert in Israel, who went to prison. And I'm saying that if a person stumbles upon an obstacle, it's a sign that he can accept it and face it and treat it as none else besides him. He controls this. He orchestrates this for me. And I'm willing and I'm capable. I just have to adhere to him better. This is what he wants, really, that by the adhesion with him, I can overcome everything. And then I'll go to the police and do whatever's needed, or maybe it'll be canceled or continue. Doesn't matter. I'm going to use all of these things in order to better adhere to him. I see it as a means to rise in my degree of adhesion.
Oh, hold on a second. Are you telling me that every time I wish to advance in the ladder, a person needs to ask for greater and greater troubles? Is this what you're telling me? What does he have to do?
This is called the love of the Creator.
Just like that? That every degree is a greater blow?
It's not a blow. It's a blow to your will to receive, not to you. You already identify with bestowal. That's incorrect.
No, but he feels the internal blow.
Yeah, but it's just in order to tear yourself, kind of to rip yourself apart from your ego, to rise above it and cling to the Creator.
Oh, wait, is this the only way to advance on the ladder?
I don't know, but why not? What do you care, as long as you advance?
I thought that a righteous, a Kabbalist, rises on the ladder, with a lot of fun.
What do you mean, with fun?
Pleasantly.
That's the whole ladder of degrees.
Like that reforms, he studies with his friends, he advances.
And that's it? And you already go forward?
Of course. What do I need these...
How will you rise above your ego? How will Pharaoh allow you to exit it? How will you detach? It has to suffer beatings, and then by that you really abstain from it. You peel yourself away from it, off from it, forcefully. It's feel the action itself that has to happen here with us. That's the only way. That if my will to receive suffers blows, I don't want to be with it. Otherwise, I'll cling to it. Otherwise, I'll stick to it. Mister, look, I take a cigarette and I enjoy. And if I go, oh, something is painful. Let's say my heart is aching. And then again and again, and I feel the pain, that's it. I'll see it as an enemy. I'll see it as this cigarette as an enemy rather than a pleasure, right? So what don't you understand here? The Creator, in order to help you detach from your ego, sends you some sort of a blow. You meaning that part in you that clings to the ego, and everything is calculated. That you're capable of disconnecting from your ego to a certain extent of your desire, and so the beating is calculated in a way that if you realize that it comes from none else besides Him, so that you will detach from the ego and cling to the giver of not the blow. He's given you light. He sends you light, but this light towards your ego is felt as a beating. However, if you identify with the light, then you're kissing the stick. It becomes not a stick, but a bouquet. You know, instead of a stick, all of a sudden you flowers.
Is this the qualitative blow that you're talking about? You used to teach us that you have to go through the blows.
It's not blows, it's benefits. It depends on how you discern it, this way or that way. The rod or the serpent. How else?
No, but the thing is that it tells us that you perform work, what you call a qualitative blow or a corporeal blow. There's a big difference. If it's something internal I have to go through with my wife, with the kids, with the family, it doesn't matter, you know, versus receiving an invitation to investigation in the police. It's not a joke.
Look at the history of the people of Israel. What else do you need to see? Look at the entire history. We don't know how to take the blows correctly. Otherwise, we would learn that a long time ago and disconnect from our ego and would be in an entirely great world. What do you want? I'm talking to you about a simple action that soon you'll get an invitation to court. With God's help, if you'll be successful, if you'll truly deserve an ascent. No, but what do I want to say? don't you see how we always get this relation from above, and we just can't decipher it correctly. We can't interpret it correctly. That's the problem. We always see it as blows. We can't use it correctly, and that's why we're not peeling ourselves off of the will to receive. We're stuck to it. You know, it's like with glue. I have to peel myself further and further away by relating to each blow as coming for that, and then I'm above it. And then instead of a blow, I feel that it's not a potion of the Torah is not a potion of death, but it's a potion of life. You come here and you say, from the moment I start studying, things became worse. You know, what's the verse that says that? Anyway, that's because what? That's, well, you just have to understand what kind of attitude you need to have to that. So there's no problem, but only to persist in taking everything on the way as a blessing. It's a blessing, yeah. It is. This is the whole Torah. Otherwise, how else? If you're inside the ego, how will you advance beyond it and with another part, another blow, and then so forth? And if you want to disconnect from Pharaoh, how can you escape it? How can you detach from it without the 10 plagues?
It's a very high degree, what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? Come on, it's not high. It's a look at our history. Our whole people is going through that all the time. The 10 plagues, everyone feels it. Any housewife feels it in her family. What, you haven't received enough rocket firings?
It's true what you say, but according to these people who don't know what it's happened to them, what about them?
We have to explain. You have to explain. You have to go to the people and explain to them that this is what it's all about, that our approach to what we get from none else besides Him is incorrect. We have to see it as good that does good and see where is He directing us by demonstrating these troubles to us that we have to change within to the point that we feel the troubles as an expression of His love. And then you'll see how the stick, the whip, becomes a bouquet. Just like that. Yes, Amnon.
The article here that the Rabash writes is about the ability, the strength a person needs to have in order to remain in faith. How to remain in faith? So the question is, where can you get, you know, you explained to Tzvika for 10 minutes how a person has to be, and it's something that is almost practically impossible. How can I be here, you know, detach from my ego, exit Pharaoh in order to be in faith? How do I do it?
By the environment. That's it.
But the environment itself makes mistakes.
All of us together, and I'm here too, and the lessons, all of it together, the teacher, the study, the environment, everyone together, if you wish to disconnect from Pharaoh, it's only by arvut, mutual guarantee. That's it. Otherwise, you'll keep suffering blows until you'll get wiser. Until you realize that these blows are happening in order to help you detach from your ego and not just to cause you pain. And then you just have to be miserable and feel pain. No such thing. You're under the providence. Everyone in the world is under the providence. We only learn how to accept it correctly.
Because to construct the Arvut is not so simple. We talk about it, we want to do it. Rav, what do you mean? You want to run away from the blows? You know. Meanwhile, in this lolishma, I'm not talking about high matters where you do it in order to bestowal or to give contentment to the Creator. How do you want to be like Him, like a son towards a father? We're not talking about this. Even simply to escape the blows, even when you're in the degree of the people of the nation, not Levi's and Cohen and Moshe, simply to escape the blow. You wish to escape Egypt? Please. Here's your chance by connecting with everyone. So, with the teacher, with the studies, with the friends, have such an influence on a person that he would not be able to escape each and every one. He would not be able to escape the influence of the Torah, of the light that reforms. Then you will understand that the light that reforms, that influences you, it doesn't bring you the blow. Rather, he brings the blow to the will to receive, and by that he helps you to get rid of it, escape it. If Pharaoh was good all the time, not that a new king came onto Egypt, rather the good Pharaoh, the 7 years of plenty and abundance, would you have left Egypt? Never. You would have been like a king. You're running Egypt. What's happening in the 7 years of famine? A new king rose who did not know Joseph. That's it. Then it began the prelude to redemption, the preparation. It's good that you somehow begin to understand. Yes, Terence, microphone.
Par rapport au texte qu'on vient de lire, c'est pas clair pour moi. Je comprends pas pourquoi on doit demander pardon pour une chose dont on n'est pas responsable.
With regards to what we read now, I'm not clear on why do we have to ask for forgiveness for something we're not responsible for. I haven't created myself, I haven't done anything, and I have to ask for forgiveness. So if I see what's, you know, on
true,
paper,
right.
The Creator has to ask for
you
forgiveness.
Are correct. You are correct. I'm not justifying you, but according to how you are correct.
So why do we have to ask for forgiveness? I don't understand the text.
A child has done something bad, but he doesn't understand that he did something bad. In order to teach him, so he would not do it again, you have to show him that it is wrong. Meaning you have to perform a certain mark in his egoistic desire by which he did something wrong, so that inside this egoistic desire it will be written that this is something wrong. How will you do it? You have to give the will to receive a bad impression, something that would cause it to suffer a little bit. Let's say I cause a vase to break. You know, I'm a child, he doesn't know anything better. That's how it happened. But if I wish to teach him that this is wrong and his action was wrong, he has to be more careful, even though he did it without intention. You know, he's a child. But I want him to learn something from it. I must write inside his will to receive that he was not being cautious, and now this impression that it's wrong to relate to things like that, that you have to think first, that you have to be in the right intention towards any action that you are performing, any movement, just like we do here with the intention for the studies, meaning I have to give him a certain bad negative impression. Just like the action that he did, a small impression. Then I give it to him. I tell him, "Oh, you're bad. You shouldn't do it like this." I reminded him a few times, in a nice way, gently. But I have to do it. Otherwise, it it's not considered education that I'm correcting him. Meaning, so corresponding to the will to receive, I have to give him something bitter, something negative. If the child does not learn those things from me, but then at least later he could feel that he did not learn. He discovers it through various actions. Let's say I remind it to him, I'm reminding him again a second time, and he says, oh, you're right, I don't remember, I didn't pay attention, I forgot what you said about it. Forgive me. This is called forgiveness. Slichot. Meaning, we ask for forgiveness for not being sensitive enough to what the Creator has given us, all those signs. Just like I'm explaining to you right now, when he receives a summons from the police. And at first he's like running around, grabbing his head, what will I do, I'm better off dead. Then he says, no, oh, such good life, the Creator is now advancing me, he's raising me. Look, he wants me that specifically by that I will be adhered to him instead of being adhered to the police and my will to receive and all those relatives and everyone. Meaning, forgive me. What does it mean? That first I cursed the Creator for giving this to me, and then I understood that he's doing something good to me. Instead of a stick, it became a bouquet of flowers. And for that, I'm asking for forgiveness. Okay? Let's finish the article. Where were you?
Mm-hmm. We are continuing. It turns out that this is a place where he can see the truth, his true measure of faith in the Creator. And he can see that all the sins stem only from this reason. By that, he will be trained and prepared when he's going to ask from the Creator for forgiveness for his iniquities. And he can then estimate the true value of the flaw, meaning how he blemished the honor of the king. And he'll know what to ask of the Creator, meaning for what sins that he has committed. And he can know what to not commit again.
Meaning, ultimately, our sensitivity for what the Creator is doing with us. This is the work. This is the forgiveness. This is everything. To be sensitive that you're receiving this from Him, none else besides Him, and always good and benevolent. Always. And to the extent that you are willing, then they prepare for you what we call blows. And by these blows, you have to show that you are above them. This is called come to Pharaoh. Yes.
Rav, I feel like there's no point in Yom Kippur. Like it's a custom that there's no point in it anymore.
Why?
That's how I feel. It's not connected to me.
What do you mean, does that relate to you? Why can't you perform the Yom Kippur according to what is written? And in addition, be in the intention that you're doing this together with everyone in order to be above your ego. Because what you decide now, you say, I have no taste in Yom Kippur. You're saying it out of your stomach, your ego. So go above your ego. What's the problem?
Well, the only reason I want to do it is because everyone does. But not because, you know, I just don't eat and drink and for no other reason.
So you don't see the effects in the meantime. That's okay. But at least you're doing something good by the fact that your friends are doing it and you're doing it with your friends. Okay. That's also good. It's called empathy with the group.
Except for that, is there a reason for it, the Day of Atonement?
other than being with us, and you will not think of your body, even though you're not drinking and eating, and so on. You will only think about spiritual ascent. Yeah, what's wrong with that? You think only of spiritual ascent when you're eating like a quarter chicken with rice? No, you'll think differently.
I just don't see the connection between not eating and drinking and spiritual ascent. It's not connected.
What do you mean not connected? You see that's influencing you. Is it or not?
What influences is that everyone does it together. That's what does it.
No, also the fact that you're not eating, that you're fasting. That's a human, it's natural. Specifically when the will to receive receives a blow, try to rise above that blow, above that will to receive. See if you're capable or not. How many of your desires are in your belly or above your stomach, your belly button? Right now, you're like an attorney for your stomach. I don't feel anything. I don't want. I don't need. I don't have to. This is your stomach speaking. Work outside of it and see. Try to be objective. Do it like that once in a while.
There's light in that?
Is there light in the fact that you're eating all the time?
Well, it doesn't have to do with the food. I'm just saying it's...
So why are you asking?
Because it's a special day. We prepare for it. There's something great in that. But it's just a custom. It's a custom that we're following.
True.
And that's it.
No, not only. Everything in our world, every branch, every corporeal branch has a spiritual root. It has a spiritual root. And that's why we keep it.
Last question. Is there a special power on that day? Is there such a thing?
There's a special force towards a person that upholds it. Day itself, I don't know what is it. It's the sun that, you know, earth, the sun goes around the earth. A day is a concept unfamiliar to you. I can't talk to you about it. What, the special rotation of the planet? I don't want to go into all those things with you. It's very complex. Yes.
In the preparation towards the European Convention, we're suffering a lot of blows, like punches to the stomach, really. We want to know how to interpret this correctly, how to be sensitive to the indications, how to see it correctly, the whole process we're going through.
Similarly, they deserve to exert more and receive some blows and receive an awakening, and they're trying to test them and raise them a little bit. What do you think? Let's say a United European group, 30 states, through Babylon, they're trying to gather, right? To have a convention in Milan, right? That's the plan. And it's difficult for them to do it. For a variety of reasons. Why do they think it's going to be easy? I don't understand it. Where did this attitude come from? This infantile, primitive attitude that it has to be easy. Explain to me. Oh, I'm doing something holy. I'm having a congress for all of Europe. They should come. And how the Creator is helping us. Why like that? Why in this way the Creator has to help you and not the opposite way?
Yeah. How can we then in Europe mature spiritually?
Through the hardship, like everywhere. What does it have to do with Europe or South America or Israel or Russia? Everyone receives the same. To rise above the will to receive, that you will always feel difficulty, hardship in the will to receive, and it's helping you to rise above it, and that's the help. That is the help. The lover of the Creator will prove his love. That's help. How will you rise above your will to receive if you will always feel good in it? You see how that Tal asked, oh, why Yom Kippur? I don't want. He has a 1,000 arguments, all just, and he can write entire novels on it. And judgments and everything, and what is against, and a note from the doctor, like they say in the army. I have a note from the doctor, but practically, specifically by the hardship that the Creator is awakening in this organization of the Congress, we reach a state. I reach a state where we can do it in a higher degree compared to how it would have been without these hardships. So, as a result, I think that we have to put in more efforts, and we will succeed in doing a good Congress, really. And every real European has to see an opportunity for ascension, even if he cannot come to the Congress for any reason, but to participate, to put in these inner forces towards the success of the Congress. And in truth, Europe is a tough place. Everyone is separate, everyone distant, far away from each other. Lots of countries, lots of history, mutual hatred, distance. It's hard to approach it. I mean, South America, even North America, everything is beginning to kind of mingle. Things are getting mixed up nicely, but Europe, a very problematic place for correction, and that's why we specifically have to invest more and more, and explain more to our European friends, be very close to them, in caring for them, so that they would think about their future. The future is, is really about the entire planet, that we're all interdependent, but if this will continue in this way, I can't see a good progression. They're given opportunities, and they're not using them correctly. They're given the opportunity. What can you do? They gave them a chance to unite, to connect, and only the banks connected. They gave them an opportunity to cancel the borders. What did they do by that? Just more theft and we have to think of Europe. It's not a good state.
Yesterday, with all these difficulties, the European friends gathered in the evening. We were with them, and we felt that for the first time, there's really a united group that realizes that this state, like the friend described, difficulties from every direction. Everyone felt it's coming from above and only aimed at the unity of the friends. And really, the Italians and Europeans everywhere decided that every day we'll do that to the extent possible. We'll just do the preparation, regardless of results. And we felt it's a very good direction. The question is, what is the active action of the European friends to really turn the stick to the bouquet you're talking about? Because it's an active thing. You spoke about Arvut.
Like little children to cling to their father, just like that. There's nothing else to be done. And out of this adhesion, to perform the actions that we are asked to do.
What does it mean to stick to the father like little kids?
Stick to the father means that despite all the hardships, I go, with even less brain and less feeling. I do everything that I have to do in order to make this Congress successful. I have to do it the best possible way in order to be connected, in order to sit in tens, in order to determine for ourselves what is unity and reveal to ourselves what is the beginning of that force of connection between us, of the revelation of the Creator between us. We must attain this in order to finally realize the wisdom of Kabbalah in practice, yeah, to discover the spiritual force that is sustaining the entire reality. Let's begin to take control of our lives. And these blows are only to awaken us. So you would look for that vital force, so that you would look for the means. So let's do it. Let's wake up correctly and not run away like little children, like, you know, little animals that, you know, are running in every which way because of the blows. Let's understand it. Understand that it's coming to us purposefully. This is called that you learn the behavior of the Creator towards you. You learn the upper providence that is aimed against your ego, not against you personally as a human, not against the point in the heart. It is helping the point in the heart to lose the ego, to escape it, to be born. This the Europeans have to know. This is how they need to begin to behave. Then they will see it as true help. You never get the true hurdle. Rather, you know, look at them and they become a mound of bones.
The world Kli is asking with regards to Yom Kippur, there will be no broadcast and so forth. They want to know how to integrate with us and...
There's no broadcast, no automatic broadcast on the channel. There's nothing, certainly. We keep those things as customary. We also recommend our friends who belong to it or not belong to it. It's up to everyone how to do it. We don't establish anything in corporeality. But we are here. We're going to be in prayers and study and, of course, observing all the laws of Yom Kippur, and we'll meet each other at the end of Yom Kippur during the Yahrzeit of Baal Sulam, and the day after will not be a lesson because we're going to his grave.
They're asking how to be integrated with us in that time.
Only the internet is what binds us. We don't have inner connections. This is the time for us to look deeper for those inner connections.
There was another question about those who are fasting. Should they relate to do it in the times of Israel or their time zone?
No, of course not. Everyone has to do it according to their own time zone. Because the day is, you know, measured, you know, is observed from the setting of sun and rising stars, and we do everything according to the astronomical clock.
They're asking also about study material. Can it be sent to them so they can take part in that? And
study material, probably. Yeah, we'll ask Yaniv to send everyone, all the groups, what we're going to study in Yom Kippur. So, everyone, have an easy fast, and in the meantime, some announcements.
Announcements. The LA Kabbalah Convention, the next step. We are inviting all our students in the West Coast of North America to come to the convention with Dr. Michael Lightman in LA. It's going to happen on October 31st through November the 2nd. Go to kabbalah.info/convention for all the details. And the European Convention. We're inviting all the European students from the Education Center and the groups to come to the Congress in Milano in Italy, October 24th through the 26th. We'll see you there. For preparation and details, go to eurocongress.info. With this, we conclude. Good day, great night.
We will become together as one. We'll be forever connected. Всю силу любви хотим обрести, объединившись навеки. ולא חשוב מה שקורה בחוץ, כי העיקר נמצא בינינו. Cuando nos unimos juntos, nuestro amor gobernará. Hey, hey, rise above and feel the love inside.
unidos cae.
Hey, hey, de corazones unidos, racaba, o se puede el bacli.
Hey, hey,
rise above and feel the love inside.
Hey, hey,
busca el lubov tan unidos cae.
Hey, hey, de corazones unidos, racaba, o se puede el bacli.
אותה משפחה, אותה הרגשה, מעל הפער שבינינו.
The higher we go, reaching our soul, we will reveal the connection.
Не важно, что там происходит вокруг, а важна связь между друзьями.
Я un caparezca como un malestar, nuestra actitud controlará.